we continue reflecting upon our Lord's ascension, think about what we heard in the Alleluia verse. It comes from the 46th Psalm and said, God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, the Lord amid the trumpet blasts. As we consider this great point of the ascension of our Lord, we ask, why were the trumpet blasts there? Why the crowd, the shouts of joy? You say, well, because God has taken his throne. God never left his throne. Remember when Jesus came to earth, he didn't leave heaven. It's not like the second person of the Trinity suddenly evacuated heaven and came down to us. He remained in heaven and he was with us. He remained seated upon his throne because he was God and he is God and he never ceased being God. So the only thing that was different was his humanity. And so we look at that then, as we were talking yesterday, about God doing the impossible. He did this over and over again. It is impossible for God to be human, but he took a human nature to himself. So there were two natures in the perfect union of one person. That one person is God. God cannot die. He's the author of life. But because he took a human nature that could die, now God was capable of dying, as well as of suffering and all the other things that he went through that God by himself is incapable of doing. So we look at all these things, heaven and the entire universe cannot contain God, and yet he came to dwell in the womb of a virgin. And now what we are celebrating is something that is even more impossible. That our human nature has been elevated above all creation, united to the Creator, and seated on the throne of God himself. This is absolutely unthinkable. This is utterly impossible. And yet we recall the words of our Lord as well as the words of the angel Gabriel. For God, all things are possible. By nature, it is impossible. But this is something supernatural. And therefore it is possible. But yesterday, as we were reflecting on this, we talked about our dignity. People were rolling their eyes. People were sighing. People looked disgusted. We should be rejoicing. This is our humanity that we're talking about. This is something that is absolutely impossible for us to be able to accomplish, and the Lord accomplished it in us. He has taken our humanity, he has seated it on the throne of God, he has united it to his divinity, and he has elevated it to an infinite level. Our puny, very finite, very broken, messed up humanity, God has done this. And because it seems so preposterous, we roll our eyes, we sigh, we make faces, because we don't want to hear it. Why? The angels are rejoicing when this happens. And we roll our eyes. Do we want to go to heaven? Do we want to be able to see our Lord in glory? Then we need to take this very seriously, because that's what this is all about. He has taken our humanity to heaven, and in so doing, he has opened the way to eternal life. It's the only way for us to get to heaven, is through his humanity. That's the miracle that we're talking about. That's what is so preposterous, and yet God has done it. What we cannot comprehend. And maybe that's why we roll our eyes, because this is so far beyond our comprehension. And yet it's reality. It is every bit as real as all those other things I mentioned that are beyond our comprehension. How does God come to dwell in the womb of a virgin? How does God take a human nature? How does God suffer? How does God die? Because he took a human nature to himself. So God, as God, obviously he is seated upon his throne. He is adored by all the angels and all the saints in heaven. But if he is being brought to the throne amid shouts of joy, amid trumpet blasts, that is the scene that we have in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel. The very chapter and the very place where we get the term Son of Man that Jesus applies to himself. And in there we see all of the angels, thousands and thousands and ten thousands of ten thousands, myriads of angels worshiping the Lord. And then there is one like a Son of Man who is presented before the throne of God. That's what this is all about. This is so astounding that we should be rejoicing with the angels and the saints. Just because we can't understand it doesn't mean we can't rejoice in it. Because we can't understand Christmas and we rejoice in it. We can't understand the Annunciation and we rejoice in it. We can't understand the resurrection and we rejoice in it. And the fact that God has done something now with our humanity that is so far beyond our wildest imagination, not just uniting it with his divinity, but raising it to an infinite level. Because our humanity is united to his divinity. God united us himself in what is called a hypostatic union. It means it cannot ever be separated. So wherever his divinity is, his humanity is there. In the perfect union of one person. So wherever the person of Jesus Christ is, there is his divinity, there is his humanity. And to make this even more practical for us in a way that we still can't ever grasp, this is what you receive in Holy Communion. It is the person of Jesus in glory. You receive him as he is right now. His humanity, united with his divinity, enthroned on the very throne of God, seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, that is who and how you receive him. You can't see that. You can't feel it. But that is the reality. So once again, this is what we're celebrating already. This is what we should be rejoicing in. This is what we should be worshiping. If we see all the angels and saints worshiping the Lord that way, the privilege that is ours to actually be brought into the worship of God, to be able not yet to behold him face to face, but to be able to be united with him. This is something that we should be rejoicing in. I mean, the trumpet should be sounding in our hearts. Why? Because he's enthroned there. That was the meditation of Saint Teresa. She would picture Jesus seated upon the throne of her heart, because that's where he has chosen to be. So here he is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is right here, seated in our hearts. So your soul becomes heaven, the very dwelling place of God, and your heart becomes the throne on which he has chosen to be seated. And if all of heaven is going to rejoice with shouts of joy, with trumpet blasts, with all of the glory that they can give to God, because he has taken our humanity and done something that is preposterous with it, united to his own divinity, he has brought it to the throne of God himself. And now he's done something even more preposterous, and that's to give himself to us and make us the throne of God, so that we should be rejoicing, we should have the trumpets going, we should be worshiping him and adoring him as he is right there in our hearts. The reality of what's happening in heaven continues to happen on earth, until finally what's happening on earth inside of you and me can finally happen in heaven when we get there. But again, you see that quote-unquote impatience of God. He loves you so, so much that he doesn't want to wait for you to get to heaven for this to happen. He is making it happen already. If you were ever asked, like Ahaz was in Isaiah, ask for a sign from God, would you ever have the gall to say, I want God in his glory to come to me and dwell in my heart and make his throne in my heart? Now, this is something that is so far beyond our imagination that even in our wildest dreams we wouldn't ever come up with. But he did. And because it's so far beyond our imagination, it is easier just to roll our eyes and go, yeah, here we go again. No. Turn your eyes inward. Don't roll them up at the ceiling. Turn them inward. Look at the one who is throned in your heart. Rejoice, because it is a reality. This isn't just poetic stuff. This isn't just, wouldn't that be cool? It is cool. It is the greatest thing that can happen on earth. And it's the prefiguration of what he has for you in heaven. So if one day in heaven, we will have the opportunity to rejoice with all the angels and saints as we behold him seated on the throne, then wouldn't it make sense that if he is seated on this throne, that we should already be starting that? So that we will be prepared. So that when we enter heaven, we will just continue what we've been doing. Not only accepting the fullness of the truth as he has revealed it, but worshiping him, adoring him, and with all the glory that we can muster in our hearts, we can praise and adore the Lord, seated in his glory in our hearts.